Did you know that the Corinthian church had carry-ins along with their communion? Paul had to get on their case a little bit because some people's lunches were better than others. And then there were some really, really poor people who didn't even have the ability to bring a lunch. And the church wasn't very good at breaking down the economic barriers that were within. And so at their carry-ins, you had a few people that were eating steaks, and a couple people that were eating rice and beans, and a couple people that swallowed their saliva. And Paul said, you know what, that's not really body. That's not what Jesus envisioned when he broke bread and said, do this in remembrance of me, because we are all one body. It's level ground at the foot of the cross. It really is. So, one more time. Come with me. We're not going to a garden. In fact, this hike is going to be a bit more strenuous than any of them we've been on yet. We leave the upper room. Once again, there's just two of us. Two disciples, two unnamed disciples. We often think of two men, but it may be a husband and wife. I don't know. Because disciple isn't gender specific. But anyway, there were two disciples. We leave the upper room. And once again, up through the lower city streets, it's middle of the afternoon, so there's lots and lots of activity, lots of people. And so we push our way through the crowded streets. It's still a holiday weekend, but the new week has started. People are leaving town, going back. And as we weed our way through people, up through the upper city, and yes, once again, we skirt out the Gannath Gate. This time when we come to the fork in the path, we take the left fork. And we have about 7 miles ahead of us to walk this afternoon. We've gotten a later start than we anticipated. But there's been so much movement and so much confusion that's been a part of our day so far that we have stayed with our group of brothers and sisters there in the upper room. We had Peter and John come back and talk to us about what they saw. And then after a while, we saw Mary come in. And she told us of her experience. So as we're walking the road to Emmaus, we're discussing, what can this mean? Because it's still not clear yet. Yes, we know what Peter said. We know what John said. We know what the women said. We know what Mary said. But you know Mary, she can be a bit dramatic, right? And was it just a vision, or did she actually see the risen Christ? What can all these things mean? And we're involved in a discussion about that, and a little bit frustrated, a little bit hopeful, and just a lot confused. We've just left Jerusalem. And a gentleman, obviously from out of town, joins us. And he notices the perplexed look on our faces, the intensity of our discussion, and he goes, "What's up? Y'all look like you're having an animated discussion." And we turn and we say, what is up? Like, are you a stranger in town? Like, you haven't heard what's developed this weekend? And he said, what things? So we begin to talk about our rabbi, all the way to explaining what happened, his brutal death, his burial, maybe resurrection. But we end with, but we had thought that he might be the Savior of the world. But see, we're still even confused at that point on that issue, because we just don't have all the pieces to put together. And so as we're walking along, the gentleman from out of town keeps stride with us, and he engages in a discussion of Scripture like we have never experienced. He starts with the Torah, the books of history, the wisdom literature, what we know, the major prophets and the minor prophets. He walks us from the beginning of recorded Scripture all the way to Malachi's final word before the 400 silent years. And it says that this stranger talked with them about all of the promises of the Messiah. Now, most Jewish people talk about the commands in terms of 613. And of the messianic prophecies, there's hundreds. So the 7 miles that we had to hike this afternoon have all been used up by the time he gets to Malachi and opens the Scriptures. By that time, our hearts are burning within us. There's a new level to our perplexed, confused, not sure what to think. But the way the Scriptures have been opened to us has certainly impacted and stirred us. We've reached the gate of Emmaus, the little village, 2.5 hours later. And we turn to go in, and our companion turns to continue. And because we're Middle Eastern, and because hospitality really is one of the primary virtues, we said, no, don't go on. It's the sun's setting, and we want you to come join us. So he does. We come into the house. He joins us. We wash our hands, wash our feet, and sit down to the table. And all we have is a really, really simple meal. We have a loaf of bread. We haven't had time to prepare anything additional, but we share what we have with our guest. He's obviously a rabbi. He's obviously well-versed in the Scriptures. And so we give him the honor of asking the blessing for our evening meal. And so this stranger who has been walking with us, he takes the loaf of bread in his hands, and then he breaks it open. Raises it up and blesses it. Father, which art in heaven. And simultaneously, three things happen. One, we recognize who this stranger is. It is none other than our Rabbi Jesus. The second thing that happens in that very instant is he disappears. And the third thing that happens is the bread hits the table because he has disappeared. And we're left with bread on the table. This morning's meditation and reflection on the person of Jesus and Mary's recognition of her rabbi and her posture at his feet, holding on, weeping with joy. And then Jesus' instructions to her, don't hold on to me. Because Jesus recognized that his physical presence is no longer going to be with us. He said something better is going to happen, and that is the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. That is a number of days hence. But during this transition period, Jesus is acclimating his disciples to the fact that he is leaving. And so, yes, there were periods of time. But there were also, during that period of time, you remember, Mary didn't recognize him. The two disciples didn't recognize him. Not many days hence, Peter, James, and John are out in a boat, and Jesus is on the shore cooking breakfast. And deja vu, he asks us to throw our nets out, and they're so full we can't bring them in. And all of a sudden, there's a recognition. That's Jesus. And Peter quickly scrambles for clothes over his naked body to jump in the water and swim to shore. But there's a disconnect because Jesus, the realm, Jesus is physical. And he said, I'll eat fish in front of you to prove it. But there's a disconnect between my reality and the reality of the risen person of Jesus Christ. Both realities. But there's a different reality. And one day we will be raised anew, given a new body, and be like unto our Lord. But in the meantime, I feel that separation at times, and you do too. I wish that I could sit down in a chair and talk with Jesus like I can talk with Laverne. I can't. I can, but I can't. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and I can be in communion with God. But I wish for the same reality. And I think that's what Jesus was attempting to tell Mary, and it's why he disappeared from the two disciples that evening. And later on, he gave, as one of the apostles put it, undeniable proof that he had indeed physically raised from the dead. But there's still a different reality. And you and I live in a different reality than the person of Jesus Christ does. But the evening before he died, he said, and again, there's a beautiful picture of it in Emmaus. He said, take, eat. This is my body. It was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Earlier, he had stated, my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. There's a reality. There is a spiritual reality that when we engage in faith, in the partaking of the broken bread, and engage in partaking of the cup, that is sustenance for our journey. I believe it happens in somewhat the realm of the mystical. I'm not going to attempt to explain it this morning because I can't explain it. I don't know what that reality is, that this broken bread that is blessed and broken up into pieces and consumed physically by us as a physical community involves. But I cannot dismiss it as just symbolic, because I don't believe it is just symbolic. I believe when we engage in it and in faith and in obedience, because our Lord gave us a visual reminder and said, do this in remembrance of me, that it is more than just a piece of bread. It is more than just a bit of juice. It is engaging in a spiritual reality that we do well to join into in just pure gratefulness to God for his provision and his sustenance for us. And that's what I would like us to do together as a group to wrap up our weekend. This is not a shot at anyone. This is not a demonstration that somehow I have found the correct way to do communion as opposed to an incorrect way. There's none of that. There's none of that spirit here. But I've talked this weekend several times where I believe that God wants more for us than we often allow for him to do and work for us. And one of those areas is how we engage with the broken bread and the cup. And again, this is not a shot at tradition, it's not a shot at structure, but I believe so many times, rather than it being a part of the ordinary as us gathering together for a meal that we call carry-in, as ordinary as that is, Jesus decided to use something as ordinary as broken bread to communicate something of deep, deep spiritual significance. And when we attach so much political and cultural trappings to our breaking of bread, that I believe the very essence of it can be diminished. And again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with structure and culture and tradition. That's not my point. But when the cup of blessing is primarily a cup of discrimination, I think Jesus is hurt. And I think when the broken bread is more about boundaries and lines than it is about glorifying and lifting up the person of Jesus Christ, and I believe Jesus is hurt. And I also believe that God in his provision and Jesus in his grace, he asked us to do this often because he wanted us to experience a rhythm of life. And just as there's a rhythm to our day, and we have night, and there's a rhythm to our week, and we have the Lord's Day, and there's rhythms to the month, and there's rhythms to the year, Jesus wanted to insert something into our rhythms of life that we did often that were an opportunity to pause and reflect on him, his grace towards us, his love towards us, and his desire for us to meaningfully and frequently remember his sacrifice. And it's through us being able to partake of the life of Christ that we have the spiritual energy and the spiritual foresight and the other things we need for this journey through our continued broken world. And so today, we're going to pause. And just in the ordinariness of the moment, with the ordinariness of bread, celebrate the extraordinariness of the broken body of Jesus Christ. And I want him and him only to be lifted up and glorified that as we partake of the bread and we partake of the cup, we do it in celebration of what he has provided for us. You're welcome to stay where you are. I'm going to ask several men to come and just help facilitate in passing out the bread and passing out the cup. What I'm going to do today yet is I'm going to ask you if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you want to remember and participate in the bread and the cup together, you are welcome to. If you are not a disciple of Christ, I would ask you to refrain. In addition to that, I know there are a lot of children here, and the way that I typically do that is I ask the fathers to give direction to whether their children and at what age they participate in the bread and the cup. That is your responsibility as a spiritual leader of your house. And so again, that's your decision, and I want to honor you as families in that way. Let's pause. It's going to take a little time. Enter into a time of just personal reflection. Not your worthiness to partake or not partake, but reflect on the beauty of the person of Jesus Christ and his grace towards you, and celebrate together. Laverne, Ezra, if you, Johnny, can you multitask with your little boy there? You want to come up and help me as well? Two of you work together distributing the cup. Just move between the aisles as best you can. If you could help Johnny with some of the cup. And again, like I said, just engage in a time of reflection as we break the bread and pass out the cup. Chris, would you just work this table and break pieces off and pass it out to the ones? You can go now, yeah. Maybe if you could work this area up here. If you want to just work this area. She's fine. Did everybody receive? On the night before he died, Jesus said, "This is my body that was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, today, we're grateful for the opportunity why you loved us, how you loved us, when you loved us, while we were yet sinners. We are just wanting today, again, through sharing the broken bread and the cup, to demonstrate our gratefulness to you, our identification with you, and our celebration of the restoration and redemption that we have experienced. And so, Father, take these pieces of broken bread, take these cups of grape juice, and bless them in the way that only you can. For we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to take the bread. And the cup of blessing. Let's drink together. Kenny, would you come up, please, and lead us in the song? And I pray that the God of peace would look with favor and blessing on this spiritual community as you go forth from here to continue fulfilling and being a part of God's great, grand story of salvation, to minister with the strength of you and your body to a broken and dying world, inviting them as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And yes, there is a fourth garden. And no, I'm not going to stay here and tell you about it. Well, it sounds a lot like a garden. Sometime read Revelation 20 and 21. And it has a tree. A tree that is called the Tree of Life. Has 12 different kinds of fruit on it. It sounds beautiful. It sounds good. It sounds true. Join me on the way to the final garden. God bless you.